Fred, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How's things at that wonderful new reborn? It's a previously existing museum, but it's a reborn at a new location, the Tucson Auto Museum. How are things over there?
We're great, and I want to welcome our listeners. We are broadcasting live from the Tucson Auto Museum. I should say the new Tucson Auto Museum, and we do have a very special guest today, Otten Suarez. Good morning, Otten.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom and Matt. Thank you very much for having us on your show this morning. It's very exciting.
Now, before we get to all of the wonderful stories about the cars that are here in this brand spankling new museum, I want to just share a little bit about some of the events that are going on here in Tucson. In particular, this weekend is the Tucson Festival of Books. So it's over at the U of A Mall, and you don't want to miss that. And, you know, coming up for the folks that are looking for things to do, new modeling, renovation, the home show will be taking place in a couple of weeks at the TCC, and that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we'll be there. The Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance will have a booth, and we'll be talking about all the attractions and having a special price on the Tucson Attractions Passport. Well, this is the Morning Voice. We're still kind of brand new here. Every weekday, beginning at 7 o'clock, we have a new host that talks about what's going on in the old Pueblo, and also has speakers and hosts and leaders and to talk about really what's going on and how they're making the news. Today is Thursday, so I get a chance to be with you from 7 to 9. We're going to get right to it because this is a wonderful museum that has been around for a while on Cherry Avenue. And it decided to take a big leap. And boy, oh boy, many of the listeners most likely remember the Hidden Valley Inn, which was kind of a Western entertainment, live music, wonderful miniature collection of all kinds of different things. And it closed a while back. And the group on Tucson Auto Museum decided to move their museum. And the rest is kind of a story that we'd like to hear from you because it is a wonderful. But before we get into that, there's always a before. Otten Suarez and I got to know each other when he was the general manager of the Hilton El Conquistador, or we should say the El Conquistador, a Hilton resort and spa. He and I did a lot of business together. He got a chance to get to know Papa Noel personally, and the staff out there is just absolutely wonderful. And he decided to retire, but not for long. And the Tucson Auto Museum kind of found him. Is that right, Otten? And, you know, you go from the hospitality industry to an attraction, which there are certainly a lot of similarities regarding customer service and, you know, bringing people in that maybe not know about you. But let's talk a little bit about your story, Otten, and how did you end up here?
Well, actually, thank you, Tom. It's really a great story. As you mentioned, I retired about 3 years ago from about 50 years in the hospitality industry, and I needed to do something to keep me busy, so I'm a CPA, Certified Tourism Ambassador, to visit Tucson for the city of Tucson, and was getting familiarized with different venues, and went to Tucson Auto Museum on South Cherry Avenue and started volunteering. I was a docent for a while and had a great time leading tours and talking to our visitors and enjoying being around these fabulous cars. And then the position came up to help move the museum to our new location, 4825 North Sabina Canyon Road. And here we are after many, many months, many, many enhancements to the building, but keeping the foundation and the structure and continuing the history of this fabulous address. But we have 80-plus cars here, and I'm just thrilled every day. The days go by very fast, and we'll be opening our doors to visitors this month, in the month of March.
So Otten and I were on the phone this morning, and I had not been to Hidden Valley Inn for many years, and you're traveling down Ina, and then Ina becomes Sunrise, and then of course, you hit Sabino Canyon, and as we go left, you can go to the Sabino Canyon Crawler, which is a wonderful member of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. But if you turn right and you just travel down the road, not very far, right, Otten, and then it's just down the road.
Less than a mile.
And you see this wonderful large building with this beautiful sign called the Tucson Auto Museum. And you just absolutely, you know, are amazed by the size of the building from the outside. It's in a location where there's a wonderful parking lot, so you're not going to have any trouble finding free parking when you come to the museum. And then you walk in the door, and let's take it from there, because what we're going to do for the rest of the show is we're going to kind of take a section, and we're going to dissect it a little bit, and talk about the cars that are here, because some of these cars, or a lot of these cars, I should say, Otten, you're not going to find anywhere, are you?
That is true. Most of these cars, we have one of a kind. We have limited editions. We have classics. We have celebrity vehicles owned by celebrities and or used in movies or things. You know, it's really a great opportunity. And we do have four salons, and these four salons have a theme. But as you come into the museum, in our main salon, we have a turntable, and in that turntable, we have two vehicles. We have a 1948 Curtis Omohundro Comet, and we have a 1954 Chevy Corvette. And the vehicles that were on it, in that turntable, and surrounding them are other vehicles, many of which are one of a kind. But we have an Amphicar, we have a 1957 Dual Ghia, which is my absolute favorite vehicle in the collection. We have a vehicle that was owned by Jack Benny, a 1937 Packard 12. And since we're on the radio, let me just kind of put a little connection there, because every car has a story. And this vehicle, this 1937 Packard 12, was purchased by Jack Benny by Earl Anthony and a dealership in Los Angeles. And Earl Anthony was also the founder of the Los Angeles radio station KFL. So here we go, a connection between where we are on the radio now and one of the vehicles here in our showroom. So the Packard is a beautiful car, and you just have to come in and see it. Among all the others, we have many classics. We have a Duesenberg, we have a Franklin. There's a Franklin Museum here in town. They do a great job, and among other things, and Ford, many, many cars. Pierce Arrow, we have many, many beautiful cars.
Well, you know, and these cars look like they came right out of the factory. That's how much they have been, I don't know if the right word, restored, renovated?
Yes. Some of these cars have gone through a restoration process, and we're very, very fortunate that they are in our collection. And we have many volunteers that spend countless hours making sure they look as presentable as they'll ever be. And I can tell you, some of these cars that we're looking at through, we're in our broadcast booth located in the main salon of the museum. And in this, from here, looking through the glass panes, you can see so many of these cars. And the condition, as Tom alluded to, they're in great condition. We're so proud of them. They really show very well in our museum, and it's a delight for people to come in and see them.
And the lighting actually isn't too bright, but it's not too low. it really helps the cars sparkle, quite frankly, when I hear about that. So we're going to be back in just a few moments. Let's take our first break, Matt, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk a little bit about how some of these cars were procured and a little bit better story behind it. Well, this is The Morning Voice, and we're on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., and thanks to our sponsor, Visit Tucson, and we'll be right back with more from the Tucson Auto Museum.
All right, we're back. We're at the Tudor Auto Museum, Tucson Auto Museum, I should say, and we're getting ready to walk over to the Batmobile, and I can see Batman through the studio window, and Otten is going to give us a nice little history of what is going on here with the Batmobile. And I was recently at a trade show, and you got to drive it, right?
We did. We drove it. Actually, we drove that vehicle from our previous location to here. And boy, what an experience. All the individuals looking at us and taking pictures. And we had our good friend Pete Gregoire behind us taking video. And we have a video here on our screen of that event and how that went. The 13 miles over was quite exciting. And I love driving this car. And it's really a showpiece.
Now, but I'm standing here with Otten, and I'm seeing two Batmobiles.
Yes, we have actually four items that were representative of the Batman series. The one which is the 1966 Batmobile with from the series on TV. And then we have the vehicle that was the Michael Keaton Batmobile. We also have the Batski, which is located in part of our Batcave. And then we have the Duck, which was in Batman Returns. And that was Danny DeVito. That was the Penguin. And he has the opportunity to drive that. And we have, of course, the mannequins of Batman, which is very realistic. And we have so many people that want to get the pictures with that, and as well as the cars. We have the Joker. And then we have Michelle Pfeiffer. That was Catwoman.
Yes.
And then we have Danny DeVito, which is the Penguin, and lit up, and we have different signs. And as Tom mentioned, the lighting of the vehicles, we have pin lighting that really highlights the different vehicles and the beautiful application of paint on all of these vehicles. But of course, the Batmobile sitting here in front of us.
Yeah, that's, you know, I am very, very surprised to see two Batmobiles right next to each other. And clearly there's similarities, but there's differences. Because Adam West in his original series, you know, was, what was it, 70s or
66?
60s, okay. And it does have some of the features of a car that you would see during that time period, with the fins in the back and, you know, and the lights that kind of, you know, do their thing. But it's distinctly different, obviously. But obviously they maintain the shine of a black car. But when you go into the newer version, who was Batman at that time in the movie?
It was Michael Keaton for the.
Okay, so Michael Keaton, he made a wonderful Batman, I thought.
Yeah.
He also played some other kind of funny characters.
Yes, he has.
As well for Universal Studios. But this new one, it has an enclosed cockpit, and this thing in the front there, what do you call that?
Well, we call it the nose,
okay,
of this car, but it's really quite spectacular. And we have so many individuals at our former location, and we'll continue to do so in our new location when we open later on this month. But we have a bench right in front of it, so people sit down and they can take pictures and enjoy the experience here at Tucson Auto Museum.
And I can tell you, before I leave today, Otten and I are going to get our picture taken right next to these two Batmobiles, and we'll post it on Facebook, because this is something else that you got to see. All right, so if we turn a little bit to anywhere you turn around, your full 360 degrees, you are surrounded by various automobiles. Tell us a little more about this section.
Well, this section is the American vehicles. So they're highlighted by some of the beautiful classics. So we have a 1955 Cadillac Model 75 limousine. And there were two of these vehicles that were made specially ordered by the Rockefeller family. And it's a beautiful limousine. The paint application is stunning. It has a beautiful blue paint. It's a very large car, very heavy car, and it's just the highlight. As you come in the room, there's no way you can miss it. We have decorations along all the walls. We have front ends of vehicles. Of course, we have American icons, such as Babe Ruth over one area, and then John Wayne, the Duke, in another. We also have cutouts of the Wizard of Oz and Frank Sinatra, and of course, Elvis Presley.
Now, I'm looking at one of the walls, and you have these wonderful car fronts.
Yes. So we have hoods. And this is the American room, American crafter and created automobiles. But we have three fronts from import cars, just to remind individuals that we have another room, which is imports. And so we have a Mercedes and two Jaguar fronts, and then hoods of different cars throughout the ages. We have gas classic gas pumps. And but really, this Cadillac Model 75 is really a stunning vehicle. We have 48 Packard Woody, the wagon. We have a Chrysler Woody as well. And then one car that is very close to my heart, we have a 73 Mach 1. And this is a vehicle that my son Christopher loved. So when he was a junior in high school here in town, we acquired a 73 Mach 1, and he drove it through high school, got some nice awards while he was attending CDO, and we held on to that car for about a little bit over 20 years.
Now, let's go over to this number three car, because there's a story to be told about this one.
Yes. So this is the Dale Earnhardt tribute car, really a legend, Dale Earnhardt Sr., one of the best NASCAR drivers to ever be on the grid, and it's a tribute car of the legend. It's a Monte Carlo, and it's ready to run. I mean, we operate the vehicle; it runs. And I have not gotten inside this vehicle because it's a little bit difficult, and I'm not probably flexible enough to do that.
Well, let's go over and let's take a look, because one of the unique opportunities here, the windows are down. Of course, if it's a convertible, you don't have to worry about the window, because there's a lot of convertibles right next to the Dale's car. But I'm looking inside right now, and I think you would be shocked of the seat.
Yes, most definitely. And then to get in, you have to remove the steering wheel.
And there it
so
is.
You can get in again, just like in a typical race car. But it's quite a chore, and getting in and getting out of these vehicles is a feat. But it's a great tribute to this great gentleman and racer, among all the different cars. So it's a perfect car to have for us to have here in our collection.
Well, if you're a race car driver, folks listening, you're going to have to be a little guy to get in this seat, because it's like you're getting inside a and you're cradled on all sides. Obviously, this is for safety. And there's no other seats. There's lots of equipment in here. I have no idea what all this equipment is, especially this over here on the other side. You know what that is?
Yeah, so definitely the main feature of this vehicle is the roll bar, just for the safety, as Tom was alluding, for a vehicle that is going to go very fast. And we just need to make sure that the cars are in safe condition as they manufacture them. But yes, it's got quite a bit of equipment, the gas tank, the vents to ventilate the cabin for the driver, because it does get warm inside those vehicles and in the suit and everything that they wear to go through any race and practice.
Right. They actually pump air through the helmet.
and all around the driver, because again, there's a lot of heat that's generated going, what do they go, 275 miles an hour or whatever.
They go faster than I would.
Faster than that, yeah. And this car is in absolutely stunning shape. You know, there's a lot of bumping that goes on during a race of this sort. And there's a few little dents, but you really can't see them unless you look up close. So this isn't bent. This was an actual car that was in the races.
Well, it's a tribute car.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a practice car, and but definitely it is a great recreation of that, but a tribute car to Dale Earnhardt Sr. And then right behind it, if I can just add, we have a 1967 Oldsmobile Tornado, and it's a George Barris creation for the series that in the late 60s and early 70s of the detective series Mannix. And so this is a vehicle, one of a kind Tornado, and you see the vehicle, we have the top on it in the series. The Tornado roof was not on it all the time, but it's a great car, and a lot of individuals come and really enjoy that. We have pictures of the actor Mike Connors next to the car.
Right, and I have to say, this car is in A1 shape. It's ready to be driven. The seats are made out of leather.
Tom Otten, we're going to have to go. Yeah. So Tom and Otten will be back from the Tucson Auto Museum in just a few minutes, right after the news and a couple of messages.
Okay. Let's go back. Well, we're back. This is the Morning Voice, and we are really mixing it up on this show, doing a lot of live broadcasts, and we are here today just maybe a week or so away from the grand opening of the Tucson Auto Museum. Now, they have been operating for a number of years in a different location, and Otten came along, former GM over at Hilton Elk and Keystador, and Otten and I have known each other for many, many years, and one day I got this call, and Otten said, hey, I am the new executive director here at the Tucson Auto Museum, and I told Otten, I said, yeah, I just recently had some of your team in the studio, and they were starting the talk about that they were planning on building a new museum. And lo and behold, I learned that they were coming to an old Western hangout of mine, a Hidden Valley Inn. I mean, so I was working at Old Tucson and enjoying the Old West. And then I would, in the evening, have a couple of adult beverages and with live Western music. And here we are. And I have to tell you, I remember this place being huge. And when you pull up from Sabino Canyon Road, and you're met with this huge sign that's, you know, done locally here, I believe, you told me, and you really can't miss the location. And so we're going to continue our tour of this wonderful museum. Now, how many cars do you have here, Otten?
So we have 85 cars total, and but 84 here. We still have one vehicle that we're very fortunate with the relationship with the Tucson International Airport. We've had that car there at the airport by the luggage area since October, and thank you to that organization for allowing us to showcase that vehicle. It's a 1957 Chevy Bel Air, red. You know, it's a classic car from the 50s. And it's been there. We get many calls. Individuals, we have brochures there, and they take pictures of it, and they call us and say, when are you opening? And as I've mentioned earlier in the show, we'll be opening at the end of March. So
we're all right. Excited. So we're making our way over to the cars from the 20s and the 30s. And, you know, again, we had mentioned at the last break that the lighting in here is absolutely spectacular with these pin spots, and it takes the shine and just accentuates it. And let's learn a little about where we are, and I'm going to hand you the microphone.
Yes, thank you, Tom. So we are in the main salon of the museum, and as Tom mentioned, we're looking at cars. We're facing
the vehicles, the classic American vehicles from the 20s and 30s. We have a 1928 Franklin, and that is the oldest vehicle in this row. We do have older vehicles than that, but in this row. And then we have a 1929 Duesenberg. Then we have a 1937 Cord 812. And that car, a similar car to this, came to fame with Amelia Earhart. She drove a Cord. And we have very unique cars. So as an example, many people that are car enthusiasts know about the Duesenberg. So we have a Model J, 1929. But we also have a 1934 Brewster Town Car. Brewster and Ford had a relationship. And it's very unique. We have so many individuals, when they see the front of this car and the fender and the way that it's set up, that many individuals call it the love car, because the grill is in the shape of a heart. And it's really a very stunning vehicle. And we're thrilled that it's part of our collection among all the other cars that we have here. And it's located, as you come in to the main salon, there's no way you can miss it, right off the front by our front desk. And we can see all these vehicles to the right as you enter the museum. The Duesenberg, the Franklin, the Cord, we have a Pierce Arrow. And then a little while ago, we talked a little bit about the 1937 Packard 12, which was specially ordered and owned by Jack Benny. We have a picture of Jack Benny standing right next to that car, and it's part of the exhibits. All the vehicles have a placard in front of them that tells them a little bit about the each car, and we have docents that will be very eager to take tours and assist our visitors in the many cars that are here, tours at their own leisure are definitely available, and many individuals in our former location did that.
I have to again mention how beautiful these cars are, and you did mention at the beginning of the show that there is another museum here in town, and that's the Franklin Museum. And then there's also a brand new one that just opened up. What's the name of that one?
Rolling Through Time. And we've had the great fortune of working with both entities, and we're looking forward to creating a package. We've talked to Anthony at the Franklin Museum. We've talked to Joe at Rolling Through Time, and there's many enthusiasts, car enthusiasts here in town, and as they travel into our city as well, we want to make sure they get the full experience. And we're going to work with those two other museums to make sure we highlight the rich heritage of automobiles that exists here in our city of Tucson.
Yeah, and that's really special. So when you're coming in from out of town and you want to spend a whole day at an auto museum, you're going to have really three choices. And the new one is probably 77,000 square feet or something like that.
It's a great collection of vehicles over there, just as is the Franklin Museum, a great collection of vehicles. And then for us, we have our vehicles, and we're the most varied collection. I think probably the most varied collection that you'll find in Southern Arizona, maybe all of Arizona, possibly. But it's rolling arts. So we're all in this business of creating an experience for our visitors. And we're thrilled when individuals will come through our door and enjoy the experience. And you could spend an entire day here. I remember conducting tours for many hours with individuals that we went through car by car by car. And it's great to be able to share that information.
Now, Otten doesn't know this, but back when I graduated from college, my first job was in Lake George, New York, and I had the opportunity to not only have an 1890s themed amusement park, but we also had a place called the Cavalcade of Cars, and it was an auto museum, and it was Charlie Wood was the name of the owner, who was kind of a significant tourism entity. And we had some really unique cars in there, the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car. So I love to find out where the heck that is. So, you know, you have space for or two more new cars.
Well, actually, when you say that, it connects me right away to Dick Van Dyke and and that show. And yeah, he's a great person and still active. So it's
Still live. Yeah, it's still dance live. And still dancing.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. You know? Great individual.
Now, this particular car, from what I remember, there was three of them made. And so I think I might do a little bit of research to find out where those cars are. They also had the complete collection of the ships from the movie Tora, Tora, Tora. And these were all probably, I want to say, they were big, okay? But they were obviously not the size. But they had aircraft carriers, and they had pretty much all of the ships that were, because they had to make two ships. They had to make one where they could show in the water, and they all moved, so they were radio controlled. And it was just a nice little collection of something different, you know, in the Auto Museum that people remember from the movie Tora, Tora, Tora. But we're going to be back in a few minutes, and this is The Morning Voice, and we're here with a very special gentleman that is the new executive director of the Tucson Auto Museum. So more about the museum when we come back in just a few moments. This is the Morning Voice, and I am your host, Tom Moulton. See you back. All right, we're back, and this is the last segment of the Morning Voice, and we've had a great show today with Otten Suarez, just the brand new executive director for launching the brand new Tucson Auto Museum. We just have a few moments, and there was a kind of a compelling question I wanted to ask you, Otten, and that was about what does it take to close down one museum and open another museum?
Well, Tom, it was very exciting, and I was very fortunate when I first went to Tucson Auto Museum. As I mentioned, I went in as a CTA, Certified Tourism Ambassador, and just fell in love. I love cars. I've been around cars all my life. So I went in there, and I was a docent for a while, but started in the end of 2023, then became the director about 4 months ago, and the reason for that was the involvement to get in the museum here. We transported the cars in using four different very qualified transport companies. We were very careful in selecting those companies to make sure that we could preserve our vehicles, and then also wanted to make sure that we brought them here and had them available. So we videotaped everything. So we have videotaped everything coming in. Leaving the old museum and coming in the museum. So we have an 85-inch TV that will be showing some of those videos that we took and pictures that we took. And it's a great opportunity. We have a great partner in Pete Gregoire. He's been a great photographer for us, and he loves cars. I've known him for many years, and he's very kind to assist us with this project. But the cars are here. They look great. And it's fun to sit in what we call our library. Individuals can come and see the collection of vehicles and how they left that other location, how they came in here. And some were driven, of course.
Right. Now, I understand you do have a lot of cars that can be driven. And but I would imagine it was quite a chore to bring them all over here.
Most definitely. So as an example, we talked about the Batmobiles, the Michael Keaton Batmobile earlier. It has a very low profile. The nose of that extends quite a bit over the wheels, so it's very difficult. So we were very fortunate. We worked with Armando Amado with All Veterans Towing, and he has a special vehicle, the only one in the state of Arizona, that has a 4-degree pitch for the lift, and we were able to bring that vehicle on. The standard pitch for a tow vehicle, the ramp truck, as many people refer to them, is about 10 to 14 degrees. Well, that would not work for some of the vehicles. So we worked very hard to find that individual. He was very gracious, assisted us. He moved quite a few of the cars here. And then a lot of the cars, we did not want to put a hook and bring them in. We didn't want to cause damage. So we have special ways of bringing them onto the ramp. And a lot of that is documented in the videos that we have in our screens throughout the
the showroom, mainly in the main salon of the museum.
So and I understand that you're going to be doing or the ability that you could have a group function here.
We can, most definitely. We have a meeting. We have an event facility. My background, of course, in the hotel industry was involved with meetings. But we do have an event planner on our staff. We have a meeting room. We have a pantry. We do not prepare food here, but we have a selection of caterers and individuals that can come in and bring the items in to satisfy the needs of individuals using our event space through our pantry. And we have a list of those individuals, and we work not only with many, but our event planner, Rhonda Knotts, has a vast knowledge of these individuals, and also with my background, I have many great connections.
And I really hope that your old buddies from Lowe's will do some third-party meetings here, you know, get them out of the ballroom and bring them over here. It's a great opportunity for the groups that are coming in to have at least one night away from the hotel. And we did that a lot, as you know, when I was at Old Tucson with JW Marriott, as well as the Westin. So the Westin's just 2 miles more down the road.
Correct.
And they have a history of doing things outside of the hotel for at least one night. And I couldn't think of a better place to have it.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We are members of Visit Tucson. We had the sales team and the administrative team from Visit Tucson come in, and they did a site. We did a general site for them. We spent the afternoon with them here. And I know that those individuals will be able to bring visitors to our city and enjoy the experience that we hope to create here at the Tucson Auto Museum.
So how do we find out more information about this museum? And more importantly, when are you, the exact date that you're going to open up in March?
Well, Tom, the exact date is a little bit fluid. We have quite a few little details to make happen. And our first impressions are lasting impressions, so we want to make sure that we're ready. But our website, www.tucsonautomuseum.org, our phone number, 520-207-5715, and as has been mentioned earlier, our street address, 4825 North Sabina Canyon Road.
Now, don't let the map app confuse you, because this morning I put in 4825 North Sabino Canyon Road, and I wanted to send me to 4825 North Sabino Canyon Plaza. Now, it could be the same location, because the stores nearby here are still calling it the Sabino Canyon Plaza, which is fantastic. But I can tell you, folks, this is 4825 North Sabino Canyon Road, and it's the old Hidden Valley Inn for all those folks that have lived in here for many, many years, probably have lots of memories. You want to come, and again, just keep checking that website. It'll be on our website, TucsonAttractions.com. as well, once we know it's going to open. And we want to thank you, Auden, for giving us a private tour.
Most definitely. Thrilling to be here. Great to see you again, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity. And once again, we'll be available to visitors at the end of the month of March, or shortly before that. We just want to make sure we make the best first impression to our visitors. And many of them are returning from our former location on South Cherry Avenue. So we're very eager to welcome them. Our team here is ready, and we're very excited to have this opportunity once again to be in the market in Tucson.
Thank you again, Notton. And don't go anywhere, because at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about the Tucson Festival of Books, and a wonderful festival that's been going on for many, many years. Over 100,000 people will be visiting this Saturday and Sunday. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, your host for The Morning Voice, and I have a wonderful guest today, Teresa Shore, and good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Thank you so much for being here, and we're going to talk about this wonderful festival that is going on this weekend, and it's at the U of A, in the U of A Mall, and it's for Saturday and Sunday, and the good thing is it's free.
It is
free. You know, now I think you can get autographs on some things, and we'll go into more detail. And of course, there's you got to pay for your food and beverage, and hopefully, my favorite gelato place will be there, the Frost, and they are partners of us through La Encantada. But we have just had a wonderful hour, Teresa, you know, talking about this brand new auto museum that's opening up very soon in March. And another festival I want to talk about just briefly, because it's the a lot of folks that have just moved here have the pleasure of going to the home show at the TCC. Now, it used to be done by the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, and they're still associated, but they sold the show to a company that does many of these throughout the United States. And we get to have a booth. That's why I have to talk about it just for a moment. And I'll be there. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that last weekend in March, and we have a booth, and we talk about all the attractions. There's over 100 of them here in town that are part of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. We're a nonprofit group, and we do nothing but market the attractions, and we help people from all over the world hear our story. Because we have this great variety of attractions, including, you know, the Tucson Auto Museum. And about a year ago or so, we worked with a group, another nonprofit called Feats Arizona, which is the Festival and Event Association of Southern Arizona in Tucson. And in particular, the Tucson Jazz Festival, who's a wonderful member of ours, Chris Dodge. We love to have him. He's been on the radio at least twice, I think, on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. And we've really enjoyed starting to feature in our brand new show from 7 to 9 now, called The Morning Voice, and that's what you're listening to. And I'm your Thursday host, and there's different hosts every weekday, including tomorrow. Dr. Ackerley will be back, who works for the School of Eller, and he gets a chance to talk about the U of A and all the positive things that are happening at the University of Arizona. And there, and I have to say a big shout out to all the museums and attractions at the University of Arizona. Believe it or not, there's over 20 attractions within the U of A. Many of those are actually on campus, so you can really literally spend a whole day there. Or if you want to go to the Biosphere or some of the other locations. And Flandreau Science Center and Planetarium recently voted one of the top 10 science astronomy museums in the world. So, I mean, I think it's the United States, but out for, you know, I'm the host, so I can say the world. But it's a wonderful place to go to, Flandreau Science Museum and Planetarium. Well, we're going to be talking about the Festival of Books. And we are so happy because I think there's the biggest one is in Los Angeles. But I'm impartial to this one, you know. So, Teresa, you know, just a little bit of overview about who you are and how you got involved with this wonderful festival. And I will kind of hold the microphone close to you so we can hear you fine, or actually I'll just place it near you. And let's talk a little bit about who you are first.
Great. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to the Automotive Museum. It's a beautiful place, and it's too bad your listeners can't actually see it because these cars are so shiny and gorgeous, and they're all different vintages. So thank you. And thank you for your interest in the Festival of Books.
Well, I've had the pleasure over the years to have a booth and lots of people, but they're not there to really see me.
You don't think so?
No. And I have to tell you, when you go to your website, you have this pictorial of all the authors. And I looked at this thing and I said, are these all the authors that they've had over the years? Or are these the authors that are just coming for this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Yes. And it's absolutely amazing.
It is.
But before we get into the nitty-gritty,
okay,
I want the listening audience always likes to hear a little bit about who's here.
Okay.
And because you started out much like our friend Otten did as a volunteer.
I sure did. So I didn't, I've always enjoyed reading. I've had a love of reading, and I'm one of those crazy people who at one time in my life was in three book clubs, including a mother-daughter book club, to pass that love of reading on to my daughter. I'm happy to say she is in book clubs now, and she's an adult who still reads and asks me for advice, and we talk to each other about books. But I started with the festival probably the second year or third year after hearing from some friends how amazing it was. And the first year, I just helped put up signs before the festival. It's a huge operation. It takes weeks to get the tents up and everything in place. And so that year I just did pre-festival work, and I was able to go to some sessions, and I'm telling you, I was hooked. It was just amazing. So this after that, I started with Author Campus Escorts, which is the group that helps transport the authors from their hospitality lounge to their venues where they speak. And then we take them to their signings, and was there for a few years. And then I moved over to the Friday night dinner, the author's table dinner, which is a huge event for sponsors.
So yeah, are all the authors generally in Friday night?
There are some authors that come in Friday, and then some that are presenting on Saturday, and some that are just coming for Sunday. So
where do you have that event?
That event is held at the University of Arizona.
Of course, upstairs.
Upstairs.
In a wonderful room.
Yes. And it is.
Food is delicious.
It's amazing.
I love the chef there. You
know, Chef Bomo. He's
that famous chef from Las Vegas. Right. You know, so think about it. He's there with chefs like Emeralds. OK. And here's this gentleman, you know, competing with all these national chefs. And you also have this wonderful dessert chef.
Absolutely. And this year we have a special dessert, which I don't know if I should say anything. Let's just say you need a glow in the dark light, a black light to see.
Well, it's edible. That's the most.
It is edible. Thing. Yes.
And edible. The Food Channel has done such a wonderful job, and other networks about, and of course, our designation is the Tucson City of Gastronomy.
That's right.
And we had an event out there, and we featured his wonderful crew. And we had these little itty bitty desserts that she produced. And then she was going on the Food Channel the next week. And I stood guard because my team couldn't eat until everybody was done, right? So I kept having her come over, and I said, are there more of these? Because, you know, I don't want to miss out. Because people were grabbing five or six or seven of these things, you know, and a sign wouldn't have made any difference. And we certainly weren't going to argue with our guests.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But she said, don't worry, Tom.
She saved
have
some
plenty
cream.
Of
oh, that's good.
So she just literally, right before the rest of the folk, our guests, were eating. And I mean, I remember eating the little desserts at the Arizona Inn. And they were delicious. But I have to tell you, little cream, you know, I mean, just little cheesecakes and key lime pie and fruit this and fruit that, apple pies and stuff. So anyway, a little bit of hospitality news here.
Right.
When people are at the U of A. Again, they're a major partner of ours. So, the radio guys won't get mad at me for featuring the U of A, especially since Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow.
That's right. You got to mention that.
Absolutely. So we got about 1.5 minutes until the break.
Okay.
And so let's finish up the story. So
sure.
You were a volunteer and you did all these things, and now we had this big banquet.
Right.
And then somehow you made another transformation.
Sure. Well, then I went to the Friends of the Festival, which is a membership fundraising arm for the festival. It's the part that helps, one of the two parts of sponsorship that helps keep the festival free for everybody. So I would encourage people to join. They're all levels for every paycheck. And it gives you the pleasure and knowledge that you are not only helping keep the festival free, but you're helping to support literacy in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, it's very popular by the number of sponsors that you have. And of course, I have to give a shout out to the Arizona Daily Star.
Right.
Okay. And the Tucson Media Partners, which is part of the Star. Brought to you by, you know, they have two wonderful publishers, Gannett and Lee. And Sandra Drury from Tucson Media Partners is our predominantly contact there. And they help produce the Tucson Attractions Passport, as well as the brochure. And they, of course, are very involved in the Book of Festival because they have a big tent that has one author right after another. And I got a chance to, when you were bringing, not you particularly, but when the author was brought to the tent, then I took care of that author, make sure they had their pens and their signs were up and everything else. And, you know, so that was a lot of fun getting to know these authors.
It's amazing.
And they're having a blast when they're there, aren't they?
They feel like rock stars.
And they absolutely are. Well, we'll be back with Teresa in just a few moments. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. This is Tom Moulton, and you're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., and a wonderful opportunity for five wonderful community leaders to share 2 hours every weekday from 7 to 9, and Dr. Ackerley from Ackerley Advertising is our producer and our confidant. And of course, Patty from, and all the great Greg from Bustos Media, with all the stations that they have, are allowing me to be your host every Thursday from 7 to 9. Now, I'm shaking it up a little bit, and we're doing remote broadcast. I like to get out of the studio every once in a while. And our technology is working, which is really good, but we have a backup. If you hear a little bit of a, where Matt jumps in there and says, Tom, I can't hear you, bear with us. But we're sitting here at the Tucson Auto Museum. We just got done the first hour with Otten and General Manager and Otten Suarez, I should say, and a good friend of mine, and bringing the 70-80 cars here from Cherry location and brand new museum at Hidden Valley Inn, or the old Hidden Valley Inn, I should say. And Teresa and I were talking about that. We both used to come here and enjoy the entertainment. And, of course, that and the Gaslight Theater were great Western kind of music and melodramas and the dioramas. That's right. And a lot of those miniatures, by the way, have made their way to the Mini Time Machine of Miniatures, which is also a member. So I'm give a shout out to my friends over there at the Mini Time Machine, and you can see some of those miniatures, but a lot more for sure. Now, we're going to talk about how this thing came about, because it's a local homegrown festivals, right, Teresa?
That's right. Sure is. So I guess it would be about 17 years ago, maybe 18 years ago.
That long?
Yes. Bill and Brenda Viner, who are two of the founders, had gone to book festivals around the country. They went to the LA Festival, they went to a few others, and they came back and they had this brilliant idea to put together a festival based on what they had seen. So they went to talk to Frank Farias, who was the manager, I'll get his title wrong, but he was at the U of A bookstore.
Okay.
Now called the Campus Store.
So what was his name again?
Frank Farias.
Frank was a good friend of ours at the Attractions Alliance. Okay. Yes, and we miss Frank.
Yeah, he's a great man. He had been working on creating a literacy project for the bookstore. Then they talked to John D. Orlando, who was at the Arizona Daily Star at the time.
Yes,
and you know him as well, I'm sure. And he had been working on a literacy project of his own with the Star. And then they talked to Bruce Beach at Beach Fleischman. He didn't have, I don't know that he had any literacy connection at that time.
He knew the numbers. And he could write the little footnotes underneath the spreadsheet.
Exactly. And a man about town. So they all coalesced. And I don't think this could happen today. I think it was a festival that was of its time. And their vision, those five founders' vision is what their template is what we still use today. I mean, we tweak it, obviously, but it's a fantastic template, and it covers all aspects of literacy. So it's pretty impressive.
Homegrown. You couldn't have done it without the U of A.
Right.
The
Star.
Or the Star, yes, and the Arizona Daily Star. And the location on the Arizona U of A campus mall. Wonderful linear, but you can have booths in the center and the sides and no cars.
Right.
And plenty of parking around, garages around. Right. You do have to pay for parking.
In some places. Right, okay. Yeah. So, and you might wonder why we do it in the, at the timing that we do.
Right.
It's because we have to do it during spring break for the University of Arizona.
Oh, right. That makes sense now, because they're off. Have they been off all this week?
Yes. So this is the second weekend of their spring break.
Okay.
And so it can be a little challenging because the school districts also sometimes plan their spring breaks at the same time as the university. And we have a lot of programs for children. So sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenge.
Now, the first book festival took place, you said about 17 years ago? Or?
No, it didn't. It happened about 16 years ago.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And it did wonderful, attendance-wise.
From what I understand, they had planned everything, and they're thinking, what if no one shows up?
That wasn't the problem.
It was not a problem. In fact, we're starting to put a history project together, and I've been talking to a lot of people about the history of the festival, and they just said they were sitting there biting their fingernails, like, we've done all this work.
Well, and of course, there's the weather in March. It's very unpredictable.
Exactly.
And, you know, at that time, spring training was still around, I think.
That is.
And baseball.
Right.
So there was some competition out there. But it seems that particular weekend, you kind of own it.
Well, we like to think that.
Because
we do look to see what else is happening.
Sure. Well,
we don't want to conflict with other big.
Well, events. No, you don't, because, you know, we all support each other here in Tucson.
Right.
But it's just not one type of person or one age range that goes to the Festival of Books.
That's right. We have something for everyone, from toddlers up to the highest age group there is, right?
Well, I think, you know, we could probably fill 2 hours, but I do want to take the 4 minutes that we have left in this segment to talk about, because the U of A is a sponsor of ours, a partner, the science.
Okay.
They call it the science.
Science City.
City.
Right. So the festival is broken up into three basic areas. There's the adult-oriented sessions and workshops and exhibitors and everything. And there's a children's section, which includes children's authors. But then there's also Science City, which is much more oriented toward children. It's a fantastic collaboration. And Cara Shopa and Jen Fields are the co-chairs for the Science City. And they bring in science-oriented businesses from around around town,
right,
to exhibit there. And they do hands-on activities with children. There are four neighborhoods this year. I can look them up. I can't.
Well, I, you know, one of the things I because the U of A is one of the premier astronomy programs, that's huge.
It is huge.
And we talked briefly about Flandrau and their engagement, certainly in science. But the biosphere is there, and really a lot of the attractions are associated in the College of Science.
That's right.
And
there's a science stage with authors that speak there, which is...
Any sci-fi authors?
I bet there are.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I haven't done the research on sci-fi. I'm sorry, but there.
No, that's all right.
There generally are.
You can't do science without science fi, right. Because what happens with science fi, it becomes the new product.
Right.
Okay. I mean, think about the disc, the little hard disc. Okay. I first saw that on Star Trek.
Right.
Okay. And lo and behold, right?
Yeah.
And then the communicators.
Right.
Okay. And everything you can think of seems like somebody watched a sci-fi movie and said, you know what? I think we can do that.
Those are the free thinkers, right?
Absolutely. The innovators, okay?
Yes.
And you get to meet these authors in a number of different ways. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the four or five really, you know, let's say most popular, the celebrities of the literacy world. But if you just generally want to go see an author, tell us what happens when an author is there. What does that author do to mingle with the crowd?
Well, there are a couple of opportunities. One is, first of all, they have their session.
Right.
And that might be one author, or it could be a panel, and they might have a discussion about some topic that is linked to the three authors. And then afterwards, they have a book signing.
Okay.
So you can mingle with them at the book signing. We ask that you only bring two books to sign, and because the line can be long and everybody wants to have an opportunity to see the author.
And it's really important that you know who the authors are, because they could be very well your favorite author, mm-hmm. and you get to meet them personally, and they are somewhat of a celebrity.
Right.
I had a chance to take care of some of the authors last year in the Arizona Daily Star tent. Well, we'll be back. This is The Morning Voice, and we have a special guest today, Teresa Shore, and she's a volunteer and many more other things she does at the festival. All right. This is Tom Moulton, and you're listening to The Morning Voice, and I have a special guest today, Teresa Shore, and we've been talking about the Tucson Book or the Festival of Books. Let me get the, and everybody, you know, shortens the name, but it's more than just the book festival. There's a lot going on. And we, the last 20 minutes, we talked about the science city.
Right.
And a lot of the science attractions are there. There's three parts to the festival, and and the children's section, you know, is they love the science city. So if you have families with kids that love to read, and, you know, reading is now not a kindergarten thing. There are kids that are reading way before they go into kindergarten. And those are the kids that generally do really well throughout school. And I have a six-year-old granddaughter. And we got this big announcement maybe 2 months ago that she is starting to read the books instead of the mom and dad reading the books to them. And my wife is a huge book reader. I mean, every day she reads a book, not a whole book, but she's always reading, and she's got her little machine there. But we have a library within our house, and she's read every single book. And of course, we have Harry Potter books, and we have some of those famous books that have been made into movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best movie is one that was a book first. A lot of the action adventure movies,
right,
were books before they were a movie. And I think the storyline is more developed, the characters are more developed and everything. So speaking of what is all the things that are going on in this mall, the Arizona University is a huge mall where all these authors and booths are located and everything. How can you really navigate all of this?
Well, that's a good question. So the Arizona Daily Star printed a guide to the festival on Sunday.
And I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to pull it right here. Sorry, you guys can't see it, but it is a very thick guide.
It is a thick guide. And it lists all the authors. It lists the schedules for the weekend. And it has all the information you need to know before you go. So we also have an app for Apple and non-Apple phones, and you can download that app, and that also lists the authors and the locations.
And, you know, you basically, if you spend a little time, a couple days before you go to the festival, you can really basically map out what you'd like to do. And you can click on the app for the iPhone and it will add those items to your calendar.
Oh, so yeah. So it's a planning guide.
It's a planning guide. And so you can just plan your day. And I would encourage people, even if they are adult only oriented people, to walk down to the children's area in Science City and see it, because it brings joy to your heart to see these children. It's just so much fun.
Audience participation and kids, there are things for them to do.
Lots of things.
You know, but obviously there are people that are coming just to see their favorite author.
Right.
So you have a number of authors that might have better name recognition.
Absolutely.
Than some others, but it's not just the named authors. You know, the head of the College of Science Development Department, a guy named Bob Logan, wrote a book, and he was a coach, and a very motivational book. And 2 years ago, or so, when he introduced his book, maybe three, he was invited to come to the the festival, and he was there in a tent and very accessible, and talked about his book. And of course, it was for sale,
right?
You know, but he got there. He got a chance to autograph your book and personalize it. There are so many authors, but there are a few, maybe more than a few, that you probably have their book or wish you had their book, and you get a chance to meet them.
Right, right. So in the North Ballroom, we have a couple of really great authors that are coming. Edward Burns, who's the actor, he wrote A Kid from Marlboro Road. We've got Gretchen Whitmer coming on Sunday. She's the governor of Michigan. She wrote a young adult book called True Gretch. I don't know if you remember Marcia Clark. Those of us who are a little older will remember her. She was the prosecutor for O.J. Simpson.
And
she now writes legal thrillers. We've got, you know, there's so many genres that we represent at the festival that it doesn't matter who, what genre you like. There's one of your favorite authors.
So fiction, nonfiction. We're hoping that you will recognize a lot of these people. But most important, you have accessibility to meet these folks.
That's right.
And you mentioned that they will be in a panel discussion or by themselves.
Right.
They'll talk a little bit about them. They'll talk a little bit about what inspired them to write the book.
Right.
They'll certainly answer questions.
They do.
From the audience who are just wondering what this character is up to and what inspired you. Is that based on you or a good friend of yours or whatever? Because even in the fiction section, and you know, a lot of times they're based on true life experiences.
It's absolutely true.
That make the book pop out at you.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's any book readings per se.
Well, you know, for example, T.C. Boyle came here a few years ago.
Okay.
And he did some selected readings from
his book. Great.
And it was great because he was in the Gallagher Theater. Modern Languages. They dimmed the lights and he read from his book. It was very powerful.
Very dramatic.
Very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And compelling. And so, yes,
right.
they sometimes will read sections of their book.
As you know, especially for the blind folks, a lot, if not almost all, these books now are available in apps. There's a lot of apps out there where you can actually hear a presentation of the book.
Right.
And obviously, clearly, when you do that, there's emphasis on the words, there's drama. I don't know if there's sound effects, but you know, it's to have a reading, you know, even Captain Kirk
right.
created a book and he did a tour around the United States where he read passages from his books. And with that great Captain Kirk
right.
voice. And then he put a little comedy in there. Yeah. Hopefully he didn't sing. I didn't see the show, but my daughter saw the show, it was such a thrill to her. And this is very relatable to the Tucson Festival of Books, is that people will wait in line
to hear and see their favorite author. And they probably come away very satisfied because they not only get to hear them talk, they get to meet and greet them. And if they don't have their book, they can buy the book or buy a second book.
Right.
And then they get an autograph from that author.
Right.
So it's their hero in a sense.
Yes. And I also would encourage festival goers, even if you have a game plan and you know exactly what you'd like to see, plan a little bit of serendipity into your day and check out if your first author isn't available, check out someone else. I always enjoy the special surprises.
Now, are most of the authors there both Saturday and Sunday, or that varies?
It varies, but a lot of them are there Saturday and Sunday.
So yeah, right. So plan on Saturday, right. But if for some reason you don't get a chance to see them,
right?
Plan accordingly, and because chances are, if you come a little bit earlier on Sunday,
right.
I have been there as an attraction booth, mm-hmm. on and off for many years, and Sunday it starts out a little bit slow, but the authors are still there.
They are.
So you know, the peak time is probably not necessarily the same on Saturday and Sunday, but obviously Saturday is the busiest day.
It is.
And what time does the festival start?
The first session is at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
The last session's at 4. We have all kinds of activities. Like one of the things we do is a character parade right in front of the campus store.
When does that take place?
It takes place on Saturday morning.
Okay.
And it's a delight to watch.
And what happens during the...
Well, the characters
from the books. Oh, that's great.
line up and they walk from the campus store over to the children's area, and the children are there.
Oh, pictures galore and everything.
It's very sweet. So activities start before 10 o'clock.
All right. So we're talking to Teresa Shore from the Tucson Festival of Books, and we'll be right back after these messages. This is the Morning Voice. Well, good morning, and we're back here with the Morning Voice, and I'm your host from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we've had a wonderful 2 hours talking with Otten from the Tucson Auto Museum live here. It's just about ready to open in about a week or so. So stay tuned to TucsonAutoMuseum.org. And we have a special guest then from Tucson Book Festival, and we call it the Festival of Books. If you want to, I keep getting confused because everybody calls it something different. But Teresa Shore is here, and we got just a few minutes, and she wants to share some. How do you get more information? And she's going to tell us a little story that keeps her coming back because she doesn't get paid to do this, right?
That's right.
So I'm glad we're able to provide a morning of fun for you.
Absolutely.
Not thinking about, I don't get paid for this thing, you know? So take it away and give us some last minute details.
Okay. Well, you can check the TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org website for more information. And as I mentioned before, the Arizona Daily Star did a guide on Sunday. We also have the apps on the phone that you can download and plan your day. So parking is what I love about the festival is there's plenty of parking. The campus is absolutely stunning. We've been doing walkthroughs every day. The grass is so green. The tents look fantastic. There's so much energy about the festival. That's one of the things that I love. I ran into a festival goer a couple of years ago who said, "This is like Disneyland for book lovers."
Yes, it is.
And that's a phrase that just keeps me going. I guess one of my favorite things is walking down to the children's area, which I've mentioned several times, and seeing children reading books to dogs. That's what.
Really?
Yes. That's one of the cutest things. And just talking to festival goers, we have over 2,000 volunteers that help in the week during the weekend. We have a steering committee of 50 people that work year round to make the festival happen. And we have a very small staff. So you have to enjoy what you're doing and you have to love it. And just seeing the joy on people's faces as they are attending is really what keeps me going.
Yeah, you go to a lot of festivals and you see people walking around like they're zombies.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know what they're looking for, or what maybe they're searching for the nearest beer stand. But if I remember right, it's kind of a non-alcoholic event.
It is a no alcohol.
Yeah. So I forgot. I wanted to mention that because that's important.
Right.
For when you have a family, a festival.
Right.
Not that you can't see, like, the Fourth Avenue is a wonderful place for families to go to. But they have beer stands and stuff like that. Well, here, there is food. We forgot to mention.
Yeah, there's lots of food.
Yes.
And also restrooms are easy and accessible. There's just a lot of infrastructure there so that you can enjoy the day.
Yeah, we were talking.
Entertainers. We haven't talked about entertainers.
Yeah. So what kind of entertainment you got going on?
We have, I think, 10 stages, and we have buskers that are roaming. We have individuals who are playing their instruments. It's all kinds of entertainment. And we have the Tucson Songwriter stage.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're looking at books, but you can take a break and listen to some music.
That's right.
Right? And yeah. Performing.
Exactly.
And those stages are strategically located throughout the mall. The mall is, if you were going from Campbell, that mall, it's really called the extension of University.
We go all the way up to Old Main.
Yeah.
We take over that whole area and multiple buildings as well.
Right. So that's,
wear comfortable shoes.
Is it a little over a mile, or is, I can't remember how long that stretch is.
I don't know. I walked it daily, but I don't remember.
It's I've done it, and it is long.
Yeah,
you want to walk both sides.
Right.
Because there's activity not only in the center, as we talked but there's also activity to the left and to the right as well. And I'm glad we mentioned there's entertainment, and there is food and beverage, and there's both kinds of bathrooms.
Right.
The portable kind and the real bathrooms where you get a little comfortable.
Right.
And that the infrastructure is really what helps make festival popular.
Yeah.
And it's probably what we were talking about, the only book festival that is still free.
That's right.
And we want to thank the sponsors.
Yeah, we have terrific sponsors. Our major sponsor is TMC Health. They have been terrific. Arizona Daily Star is another big sponsor. And we have lots of others that are, different levels, varying levels.
In fact, we got to thank the sponsors just because, you can go to the website and there's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's you scroll.
50, 60 sponsors all making this popular.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for being on air and telling us more, and make sure you go out and enjoy your Saturday and Sunday. Opens up at, you said, 10 o'clock or 10 so.
10 o'clock is the first session.
Plenty of parking around, some free, some not free.
You can take the streetcar, too.
Oh, yeah, you can park on the west side of town, and there's a lot of parking, free parking over there, and you just grab the streetcar and enjoy, or downtown, all the parking along the road is free. And
don't park at Cherry Garage.
Don't park at Cherry Garage.
The authors.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. Authors. Well, this has been the Tucson Morning Voice, and I'll be back on Thursday, and we're going to talk about soca, and we're going to talk about the folk festival coming up. This is Tom Moulton from the Morning Voice. Don't forget to tune.